Because, and that's my professor says, you pass the subject, you are there in the class, you must go deep if you didn't attend the class. Are there any apologies? Honorable members, you've got the agenda. The objective of this meeting is threefold, that we do with the two bills referring to the right to monetary amounts amendment and revenue laws, a bill. And then after that, the deliberations, and then we will be dealing with two agreements. One was the United Arab Emirates, and the other one was the government of Singapore. And lastly, yes, outstanding minutes is 2 sets of minutes. And then lastly, you will remember the matter of the land bank. And I told you that I will liaise with Chairperson Eunice Green. The procedure will be that, as I followed in the National Assembly Standing Committee on Finance, that we'll issue a statement through Parliament, the Parliamentary Service, and then call for nominations. There will be a cut-off date, and then those submissions will serve before the committee on the 21st of September. That will be our last meeting before we go on constituency. But we'll deal with that as a nice item on the agenda. Excuse me. No apologies. Honourable members, I refer you back to page 39 of the budget review. The short brief of the chapter 4. As it states here, in addition to raising revenues, the 2016 tax proposals are aligned with broader goals of reducing inequality, developing skills, encouraging environmental sustainability, and promoting public health. Government will continue to maintain the tax base by strengthening measures to prevent corporate-based erosion and profit shifting. That you'll find on page 39, as admitted by the Minister of Finance, and he tabled the national budget. So what we're doing today is it's about tax revenue that is required to fund public functions like the division of revenue. If there is no revenue, you can't divide any revenue. To improve economic growth and to ensure a sustainable tax system. And we've got our team here from the Treasury, SARS. Some you know, some you don't know. You can introduce yourselves and immediately go into the briefing, please.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members. Thank you very much for having us. My name is Chris Axelson. I'm from National Treasury. Good morning, Chair and the Members. My name is Mpholi Khote. I'm from the National Treasury Tax Police.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Mohamed Faisal Ali. I'm from SAS, the Voluntary Disclosure Unit.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. So this is really to give an overview of draft rates and mandatory amounts and amendment to revenue laws bill. As the Chair said, this covers the amendments in Chapter 4. It really covers the simpler amendments, the changes to the thresholds that we do in order to meet our objectives. So just to quickly go through what's in the presentation, we've just got a quick introduction, indication of revenue trends, so that you get an idea of the performance of tax revenues in the previous years. Then we'll talk about personal income taxes, capital gains taxes, transfer duties, excise duties, the tire levy, fuel levy, some other environmental taxes, and the special voluntary disclosure relief. These are really the issues that are contained in the draft rates and management amendments of the laws bill. The more complicated measures, which the Chair mentioned on base erosion and cost shifting, and there are quite a few other amendments that we have, are in the draft taxation laws amendment bill and draft taxation, draft tax administration laws amendment bill, which we've published, and we can have a separate session on. And so we have already published the draft revenue laws amendment bill, which has now become Revenue Laws Amendment Act already. This was not part of the regular annual process, but was a very quick bill to try and deal with the postponement of the annuitization for Provident Fund members, and that's already been dealt with. This bill is the second one, and I've mentioned the third draft taxation of amendment bill. So whenever we talk about tax revenues, when we make these changes, because they have very big revenue implications, we always think it's good to go back to why we are doing this. And really, is tax revenue is raised to fund public expenditure, on education, health, housing, social security, and infrastructure. And when individuals call into question, well, what is the level of tax rates, and you know, why is it this level, should it not be lower or higher, etc. You know, our view is very much that it's dependent on the expenditure requirements of the country, which is very much a democratic process. What do we want to spend that money on? What is the level and composition of government expenditure that we would like as a democratic country? So a lot of it is largely determined by the public expenditure and also by economic growth. So if growth is higher, it's easier for us to raise additional revenues. If it's lower, it's not as easy, and we need to make difficult decisions in terms of what you do with respect to expenditure. So on economic growth, the tax system plays a very important role. We need to create a tax system that improves growth and facilitates economic growth. And the big questions around that are, well, where do you raise your money? So is it personal income tax revenues? Is it corporate income tax revenues, value-added tax, etc.? And those are the ideals that we try to have in mind when we decide on what changes to make. So a quick overview of what types of taxes there are. Three big ones are in there. It's personal income tax, corporate income tax, and value-added tax. They make up over 88% of our total revenues. But we do have a lot of others for various reasons. Estate duty and donations tax, to try and have a progressive regime for transfers of wealth. We've got excise duty, customs duty, transfer duty, security transfer tax. And then a lot of taxes that we would like, you know, we are utilizing to try and change behavior. Plastic bag, the tax on incandescent light bulbs, etc. And then we'll talk later also quickly on carbon taxes and the proposed sugar tax. So to give an overview, we've got those three main taxes, PIT, CIT, and VAT. PIT and CIT are seen as direct taxes. We tax either the individual or the company directly. Value-added tax is seen as an indirect tax because it's a tax on consumption, a tax on a transaction. And you can see our country, you know, has a much higher level of direct tax versus indirect. But it's stayed relatively similar since 2010. It's stayed almost at the same level. So there hasn't been much change in recent years in that statistic. If we look at tax revenues as a percentage of total, here you can see individuals at 36, back to 26, companies at close to 18. So those are really the three biggest. And we'll show quickly on the next slide how they've changed in recent years. So on slide 8, you can see since 2010 or so, corporate income tax has steadied and then gone down. The value-added tax as a percentage of revenue has pretty much stayed the same, and personal income tax has started increasing slightly. So that's the sort of general trend in the last 4 years, and it seems to be continuing. We've been relying a bit more on personal income taxes. Value-added taxes stay the same, corporate income taxes are going down. So if you look at 9, this is as a percentage of GDP, which is slightly different to percentage of revenue. And you can see the same indication, the same trends there. And the big input to take away from this chart, from the table here in the next chart on slide 10, is just showing that the tax to GDP ratio has been going up. So since 2010, we had quite a big level of GDP in 2008-09, and that was because we got a lot of revenues and there was a huge fall in GDP and it pushed the tax to GDP up, and then it corrected itself as GDP improved again. But since then, since 2009-2010-11, it's been gradually increasing, so we're getting back up to sort of the higher levels of tax to GDP that we've had before. And it's important to note, so even though corporate income tax revenue, for example, has been going down and VAT has been set saying PIT has been increasing, but as a percentage of tax to GDP, it's been going up in the previous years. So even though it has been going up, you can see this chart is just showing the year-on-year growth. How much does tax to GDP tax grow year-on-year? I can see it's still quite high. I mean, 8.5%, it is a nominal value, but it is quite a high tax revenue growth. So tax performance has been good, even in this difficult economy, and it has been decreasing slightly. So we've got these two sort of forces. The one is that we're not getting as much tax revenue as we did before, but because GDP has been quite slow, tax to GDP has actually been going up. And that gives an idea of the dynamics of where we are in the current economy. So what has happened? So even though tax revenues have been holding up, they've still been a lot lower than they have in forecast. So on slide 12, the most important column is the one on the end. And you can see, well, this is actual budget, actual tax revenue versus predicted tax revenue from budget review 2015, so from the previous year. And if you look at that in the first row, persons and individuals, it's -5.58. So we expected to make an additional 5.58 billion rand in personal income tax revenues, which we didn't make. So that's a shortfall in our expectations. And obviously, when we have expectations in terms of revenues, we need to use those revenues for public expenditure. If we can't get that revenues from taxes, we then need to look at other sources, say borrowing, etc. Or we need to make an adjustment to either increase taxes in the following year or make changes to expenditure. So that is quite a big decrease. If you look at the second row, CIT, that means that we made 10.8 billion rand less than what we expected in the 2015-16 tax year. And then for VAT, it's -3. And in total, it was about an 11 billion shortfall compared to the previous year. And that really, in our view, is a result of just lower economic growth. So these numbers that came out yesterday is really good news. It's very good news, and it really should help the tax revenue collections. Tax to GDP ratios, a lot of the questions we get are, well, you know, is our country taxed more or less than other countries? And this is just a table to try and show where we are. We've got a lot of talk at the end of the presentation, which you can look through. But to give an indication, and compared to other African countries, we're on the higher end. Compared to OECD countries, we're on the lower end. But if you have to ask, where are we? I would say we're on slightly above where middle-income countries would sit in terms of tax to GDP. So we certainly aren't an outlier in any respect. You know, we generally are in the middle of where middle-income countries are, and perhaps slightly higher. If we look at our personal income tax rates, we're at 41%, which is our top rate. We're also in the same area, probably a little bit higher than the average of middle-income countries, but a lot lower than OECD countries. Corporate income tax, we're actually pretty much in the middle of all countries. And value-added tax, probably slightly lower than middle-income countries and quite a lot lower than OECD countries. So that table should just give you an indication of where we lie. So we've got quite a diversified tax base, and the rates really do seem reasonable when you compare with other countries. But into the bull, what have we done this year? What did we need to do? And what have we included in this race and Munchie Mountains Amendment Revenue Laws Bill? So the biggest item in each of the budgets, the biggest revenue impact item really, is how much we change the personal income taxes. So we could change the personal income tax tables by increasing everything by inflation so that there would be no real tax. And we would then, in a sense, be giving everybody relief. We'd be pushing those brackets up so that if you had the same level of income, you'd be paying less tax. What we do on an annual basis is look at the funding position and we might adjust that. So this year, as you can see from the previous revenue charts, we didn't make as much revenues as we thought we would in this difficult economic environment, and we needed to raise additional revenues. So what we did this year was we increased the bottom three brackets by 3.4%, and then we increased the primary rebate by 1.8%. So now those percentages are both lower than inflation. So it's not giving you full inflationary relief on your personal income tax tables. And in effect, what that does is that creates an additional 7.6 billion rand in revenue that we wouldn't have got before. So we give some relief, but not full relief, and by doing that, we create additional revenues of 7.6 billion. We've also needed to create, or we also made adjustments to bring in an expected $9.5 billion from high excise duties, the fuel levy, and environmental taxes, which also align with our behavioral change objectives, and an additional $2 billion from higher inclusion rate for capital gains and for transfer duties, which can also go towards improving the progressivity of our tax system. So it'll have a tax revenue impact and should create a much more progressive tax system. If you look at this, the table in the green boxes, that's showing what was changed. So on the left-hand side is the tax table from the previous year, on the right-hand side is the new tax table. So we adjusted those bottom three brackets by 3.4%, but we didn't change the top two brackets, so they stayed the same. And then we only changed the primary rebate by 1.8% to get up to 30,500. The impact of that is that the tax-free threshold, so the point at which you start paying tax, increased from 73,650 rand in annual income to 75,000 rand. So anybody earning below 75,000 doesn't pay any personal income tax. That's when it starts. And if you're over 65, if you earn up to 116,000, you won't pay income tax. And if you're over 75, if you earn up to 129,850, you won't pay income tax, personal income tax. On the medical tax credit side, we made a full inflationary adjustment to 6%. So it increased the medical tax credit that you can get for being for making contributions to medical aid from 279 per month for the first two beneficiaries to 286 per month. So that's a credit. It's a bit different than deduction. It's actually it's almost the same as a RAND grant that we give to you because it's, you work hard to tax liability and will reduce how much tax you owe by 270 rand per month. Or 286 now rand per month. And then if you've got more than one additional beneficiary, for each additional beneficiary, you get another 192 rand per month. And so this amounted to relief that we provided of 1.1 billion. So this table is showing, well, what do all these changes mean? And how will they actually impact people? So on the left-hand side, in the very first column, we've got all the taxable income brackets of all the individuals we think will be in the tax system for the 2016-17 year. So that's all the different levels of income that there would be. The second column shows the number of people within each taxable income bracket. So we think earning income and being part of the tax system, there will be 13.7 million people, of which 7.1 million people we expect will be above 70,000. And then if you go all the way to the green box, that basically shows in those two columns, it shows that we've provided relief of 6.6 billion. So it was 5.5 billion we gave in relief for adjusting the tables up, and another 1.1 billion relief for increasing the medical tax credit. In that green box, it shows how that money, which is additional relief, is given, how much of it is given to people in different brackets, in different income tax brackets. So the majority of that relief is between 150,000 and 500,000, or 70,000 up to 500,000 contributes for the majority of relief, and then there's a smaller amount of relief at the top end. So even though we didn't adjust the two brackets at the top, even if you're earning a billion, by adjusting the brackets at the bottom, it'll give you additional relief. So you'll still have some relief. So we think it was a relatively well-targeted area of relief that we get, that we gave, and that it was mainly going to individuals on the middle income brackets. And this is just, this next shot on slide 19, is just to show you the average tax rate that you pay per level of income that you get. So we, the point is it's upward sloping. So it's, we've got a very progressive income tax structure, and we like to keep it progressive. And that's showing the more you earn, the more you should pay in tax. So your ability to pay is higher, and we do ask you to pay more in tax the more you earn. So the inclusion rate for capital gains was also increased. It was increased for individuals from a third to 40%, and for trusts and companies from two-thirds to 80%. In effect, this would increase the effective tax rate on capital gains. If I'm trying to remember the exact percentages, I think it's around about 13.8 to about 16.2 will now be the effective tax rate on capital gains for individuals, both in the table, 15.7 to 16.4. And this really does increase the progressivity of the system, and it also helps in raising additional revenues. We think it'll raise an additional $2 billion. Transfer duties was another progressive measure that we've included. We added another bracket at the top for the transfer duty table. So this is only on sales of property, residential property. And it's for sales that are above 10 million rand in value. The transfer duty rate would increase from 11 to 13%. And we think that that would raise about 100 million. That's all on the personal income tax. I'll ask Paul to talk about excise duties and fuel levy.
Thank you very much, Chris. As Chris has already indicated, in terms of the excise duties, the proposals that have been tabled in February, we intend to raise about 9.5 billion, and that basically is excise on alcoholic beverages, which have been increased between 6.7 to 8.5%. Annually, the process what we do in terms of the adjustments to the excise duties, we increase all excise duties. In terms of the general fuel levy, they were increased by 50 cents per liter. And also there was an increase in terms of environmental levies. That includes incandescent road tax, the plastic bag levy, and the CO2 emission tax on new vehicles. In terms of the new proposal that had been put in February was the tire levy of 280 per kilogram mass. And also the minister made a proposal around the regulation of sugar spring beverages that will come into effect from next April. Now, in terms of the alcohol and tobacco excise, that just gives the increases that have affected for the different categories of alcohol and tobacco products. Basically ranging from 6.7% to 8.5%. As you can see, it's quite a mix in terms of the increases for the different product categories. Okay. In terms of the general fuel levy, there's a different increase. One looks at the 2016-17 financial year. You look at both petrol and diesel in terms of the general fuel levy, they increased by 30 cents. And the road incident fund remained the same. And when you look at sort of the tax burden between the two financial years, in 2015-2016, the tax component as a percentage of the price was 40.9% in terms of the in terms of petrol, but for the 2016-17 was 86.5% in terms of the blue the blue rectangle. But in terms of the diesel, it was an increase slightly. So when one looks at then the fuel levy as a percentage of gross revenue, it declined over the years, and only from 2008-09 that you see a little bit of an increase, and that is basically as a result of a more environmental instrument they introduced in the tax system, instead of reducing the net contribution of the fuel levy as a source of revenue. And then again, looking at the fuel levy as a percentage of GDP, you see a decline that follows it. It's similar to the previous slide, and there's a slight increase from 2009 to 2016, which is sitting at 1.4%. There's also an increase in terms of the plastic bag levy, an increase by 2 cents per bag, from 6 cents to 8 cents, and that was with effect from the 1st of April, 2016. And then also we have an incandescent load tax. Basically, this tax was introduced to encourage the uptake of the more energy efficient load. So we started taxing those energy inefficient loads because they were relatively cheaper than the more energy efficient loads. So there was an increase in this current financial year from 4 rand to 6 cents per kilowatt. In terms of the motor vehicle emission tax, this also was introduced looking at the environmental impact of CO2 emissions. So the tax was introduced to encourage the purchase of more fuel efficient vehicles and less CO2 emitting vehicles. So there was an increase in terms of the rate from 90 rands to 10 rands for passenger vehicles, for passenger vehicles of 120 grams of CO2 per kilometer, and also for double cabs it was increased from 125 to 140 for those emissions above 175 grams per CO2. Basically, the way it works is that every new motor vehicle must have the energy, must have the fuel efficiency labeling and the CO2 emissions labeling, so that we use that to impose the tax for those high emitting vehicles. And again, in terms of the proposal that was made in the February budget, in terms of the car levy, that will be implemented later this year. Those basically just give an indication of the additional revenue that's expected from all of those increases in terms of those different tax instruments. In terms of the indirect tax, the 9.5 billion.
Thank you, Uncle. Seeing as you have the expert dash, would you like to go through the VEP or?
Thanks. As the Chair has mentioned, we've already spoken about this, so I'll do this really quickly. So, essentially here, what we have is a disclosure program that is aimed at encouraging people who have money offshore that they haven't declared to come clean, because starting next year, there will be greater exchange of information between tax authorities on automatic basis of things in bank accounts and other similar financial instruments. So we've had a first draft out, we've had a second draft out, we've had public consultations, we've had a third draft out, which was published on the 20th of July, and that led us to the draft that is currently out. So if we go back to the first draft, it essentially said we're going to tax 50% of the money you initially didn't declare, so we'll seed capital, and then for the last 5 years we'll tax the investment returns. And people were coming back to us and say, well, you know, that money could have been taken out over the last 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, who knows how long. It's very difficult to go back. Those records aren't readily available. So, fair enough. So what we've switched to, and there were other reasons, other arguments, but let's move to the next slide. What we've switched to is a concept where we instead look at the value of the assets over the last 5 years. Because going back 5 years, it's not that long. Those are the kinds of records people would be likely to have kept other than sales for at the financial institution. And we'll look at 50% of the value over those 5 years. And it's the highest value over the 5 years. So another comment we got was, okay, we're not sure how foreign trusts fit into this. We weren't sure that really it was necessary to clarify, but we've clarified it anyway, and we said it includes similar arrangements outside. And that's because you get some odd civil law can be equivalents of a trust. So the question is, are they in or out? And we're making it clear they're in. Donations tax. So the idea here is, should we off the hook for donations tax going into the future, for estate duty going into the future? The answer is no, you shouldn't. We want to put you in the same situation as everybody else. And next one was, well, you haven't let us off the hook for employees tax or value-added tax. And the answer is no, we haven't. You're going to have to use the normal voluntary disclosure program for those. And the reason we see a distinction there is because the VAT should have been collected from an ordinary consumer, and then it wasn't paid over to SARS. So it's not just between SARS and the taxpayer. Now, there's a third party also involved, being the consumer, or if we're talking about employees' tax, it's the employee who's the third party who's also involved in potentially prejudice. Exchange control relief, no real changes there. So that they stay much the same. Should I flag some of the things that are coming up in the standing committee? So following the hearings last week, there was some concern about the 50% rate. And although we haven't taken this to the minister and it hasn't been signed off by the commissioner, the DG or the minister, there is some thinking about reducing that 50% rate to 40%. So 40% of the value that is included in taxable income. The other concern was the six-month window, which runs from the 1st of October through to the 31st of March. People thought that was very tight, partially because South Africans love going on holiday in December, partially because we're actually very late getting this legislation through because of factors beyond any of our controls. So that's another constraint. And thirdly, getting information from overseas sometimes can be a long, drawn-out process. So something that is being considered at the moment is extending that 6 months to 9 months and pushing that out until the end of June next year, which is still well ahead of the time when countries will start exchanging information with each other. So you're the first to know.
Just going to continue with regards to the proposals on indirect taxes. I think you might be aware of the process that was started a couple of years ago in terms of the introduction of the carbon tax, and there's a separate bill that deals with that, and then also the announcement that was made to the minister in February with regards to the introduction of a tax on sugar sweetened beverages. With regards to the carbon the tax bill, that was done last year, and it was taken through the comment period. And in terms of the design of the tax, because there were concerns around the impact of the introduction of the contract. In terms of design, it has been designed in such a way that it is revenue neutral and doesn't have the negative impact, and also on the electricity sector. And that in terms of design includes the tax free percentage of the thresholds that are tax free, to make sure that the impact is less than, or we don't have any impact. And that will run through until 2020. Now, in terms of the update, because the main aim of the carbon tax was to put a price on these environmental and economic damages caused by excessive emissions of greenhouse gases, and considering also the economic outlook, that's where that the bill was introduced and designed in such a way that it has a neutral impact up until 2020. The draft bill was taken through the public comments, and comments were received, and currently the draft bill has been revised, taking into account all of those public comments. Now, in terms of the integration of the sugar beverages, there's a growing problem in South Africa and globally with regards to obesity and the impact of that in terms of non-communicable diseases. And just looking forward to what the impact of that will have in terms of healthcare services. And the proposal then seeks to start dealing with those issues of obesity, especially from the sugar sweetened beverages, considering that these beverages, they don't have any nutritional value. It's only sugar and some water and some chemicals. They don't add any nutritional value. And the linkage between the consumption of these sugar sweetened beverages to the problem of obesity, literature establishes that that link. And this also comes from the strategic document from the Department of Health in terms of dealing with the issues of obesity and non-communicable diseases, looking at how they can start dealing with those issues going forward. And taxing of sugar-sweetened beverages is one of the elements that have come out of the Department of Health strategic document. And we will propose the introduction of a tax on the sugar-sweetened beverages from next April. And we have published the draft policy paper that outlines the design of that sugar treatment beverages. It was published in July this year, and to date we have received close to 200 comments on it, and we are currently processing those comments, and then we intend to have a stakeholder workshop on those comments in November to address the issues that have been raised through the comments period. Thank you.
Stakeholders, the process in the National Assembly. This is our first bite on this bill. It's not been officially referred to us. The reason why we engage with you is to give us some time to deal with this, to be acquainted with the content, because it will be referred to us and then you will come officially again, that we can complete the process. Prohibition of plastic bags. In Europe you get those paper bags. You don't see a plastic bag there. But in Mexico, they still have plastic bags. We were there last week. Going back to honorable members, our resolutions of 2015, if you could recall, there was one resolution referring to SACU, a South African get what it's supposed to get. Income. I'm putting it very plain and simple. In terms of the SACU arrangement, it came out in the public hearings as well last year. Excuse me. Yes. I recognize the other members have joined, and then there's back to Lady in Blue. She's a visitor, and I love this idea of people coming to our committees to come and engage. Although they sit and listen, but the point is, we want to park. This is a people's parliament. It's not only here for members of parliament. Welcome. You can introduce yourself. We would like to know from where you are. We are very friendly people.
Thank you, everyone. This is my first time coming to a committee, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Really, I'm from Kipteka Hofmeyer, a law firm on Boetekrat Road. My name is Esmeralda Saides, or Esme. Our client is Redisa, so we were asked by Redisa to sit in on this committee meeting, and the one that has been held simultaneously at 10 o'clock now, the NCOB. We were asked to make representations and submissions to the committee. So my director and the two directors from Redisa should be doing that right about now. But since you said that this will be heard again, then there's no need for me to also make the same submissions. Thank you.
Well, you can start preparing your submission, but in the vicinity you are moving outside.
Yes.
Give the message to them as well. They're welcome to come and attend. That's what we want. It's the engagement on legislation, because it's affecting everyone in the country.
Absolutely.
So yes, you are very welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Questions, honorable members?
Chairman, thank you. Colleagues, thanks. Yeah, I just need to educate myself a little and get some more clarity, as in simple terms. So forgive me if I'm sometimes not comprehending the slides as I should be. Perhaps if we could just start with slide number 12. I noticed there that you're showing that there seems to be a huge shortfall from PIT and obviously from corporate taxes. I'm trying to figure out that with taxes that have been going up gradually across the last 3-4 years, why are we, if you can just in simple terms explain to me, why are we then still having this huge shortfall? I just wanted to get some clarity or simplicity on it. And then on slide number 13, the tax GDP ratios and tax rates in selected countries. Thank you for showing that slide. Yes, it's interesting and give one food for thought. But I'm also have to say is if you look at the top half of the slide, the way you're showing the first world countries, and you show the disparities in terms of South Africa as compared to those first world countries, one must also then always keep in mind very strongly the services and the quality of basic services that those first world countries deliver to its populations. It absolutely makes business sense. I mean, if you take the first world medical care that, as an example, are providing those top 7-8 countries that you list on that slide, and you compare them again to the bottom countries. So quite frankly, you know, it's maybe for information, but I don't think it's fair to compare those first world countries to us as an emerging country. I just wanted to comment on that. Then, Chairperson, if we just move to slide number 15, where you talk about the cost of fiscal drag relief. I want to compare that slide number 15 to slide number 21, if you would comment on my worry or my concern is what will it do to the real estate market? Has there been any study or any survey done as to what effect will this have on the real estate market nationally? That was my question there, and then I want to wrap up, Chairperson. You'll comment that to slide 21. And then just clarify for me in simple English. Are you saying on slide number 25, sir? On slide number 25, are you saying an average of almost half the target, half the purchase price of a liter of fuel goes towards government taxes? Is that what you're saying to me in on slide number 25? Chairperson, thank you.
Chairperson, thank you. I'm going to start, thought about the plastic bags. You know, we were fortunate to visit Mexico, as you indicated, and you know, it was quite obviously there is how clean that place is. Now, if you drive around in South Africa, and you know, during the elections and so on, we were fortunate to be just about all over the country. And you know, the plastic bag has become a serious problem to this country. You know, people are making jokes and say this is our new national flower. So we need to do something about plastic bags from an environmental, perspective. And I was just wondering, and maybe this is not appropriate, Mr. Chairperson, but I still want to raise it. I want to hear, you know, just a comment from our learned friends. What is the possibility that one can introduce something like a deposit or whatever? I can remember when I was young, you know, on bottles, there was a deposit. And, you know, I just want to incentivize people to come and hand in plastic bags, to get rid of that, because I think that is the only possibility or the only way that we can deal with that effectively. So that is just a thought on that. Secondly, I want to touch on the issues that my friend Farad Esak touched on also. You know, I just get feeling that, you know, vehicle owners really get a raw deal. You know, taxes are severe on vehicles already. You know, when you buy the vehicle, when you apparently, when you're going to put tires on it, no, it's emission gas, your taxes, and then I mean, you half the pump price of fuel is tax. And I was just wondering whether that is, you know, not maybe too severe on motor owners. And I mean, it has an impact across the spectrum. You know, people, it must filter through to the user, you know, the normal user or whatever. Everything is going up. And to what extent are we going to go ahead with taxing these people, overburdening them, up to the space that we break the camel's back? Is that what we want to do? I don't think so. John, just lastly then, is also referred to that. You know, the real estate market, you know, we need to have a very lucrative real estate market for various reasons. Obviously, we want to see that people are properly accommodated. I can just imagine that we want to, you know, get people to buy their own places, that they need to have invested in real estate and so on. It is also a good vehicle for job creation, the construction industry and so on. So, you know, I just want to caution that apparently vehicles and real estate are sort of, you know, singled out to be the people that we're hammering all the time. Thank you, Jefferson.
I speak out of correction, but isn't September Environmental Month? There's a date in the year that's Environmental Day. And we actually must have a debate on this. I'm part of a team where I live in Port Norris. I clean the beach. It's shocking to see what you're picking up. Using plastic and our gloves. It's actually shocking. But this thing about the plastic bags, I think we must take up very, very seriously. Honorable Mohai.
Just seeking clarity, Chair, on who will live. How I'm wondering the extent of, in fact, let me put it this way. There was a lot of discussions around who will levy being introduced to finance infrastructure. I remember the discussions in Gauteng. It was around the ETOR. So there's an alternative. But also just want to check, as it relates to provinces, are there provinces that are utilizing this relief? Meaning province, some powers vesting in provinces to can introduce some revenue, revenue base. There's been a lot of discussions, but it never implemented, but I know that it is a matter, but it's been put forward. Counting us putting it forward as a province, that it can serve as an alternative. So I just want to understand that the national relating to province, what extent can provinces go in initiating these discussions?
My province, the own revenue is about 353 million rand, it's a drop in the ocean. It's the own revenue, because the revenue base is small, the Northern Cape, the national treasury is actually carrying the Northern Cape in terms of the equitable share and the conditional grant allocations. just a short commercial, you want to see a clean down, go to Upington. Why? Because the council took a decision, we're going to keep our town clean. The tourists, because those guys that go hunting in the Kalahari, come to Upington. From Cape Town, from Ouar Tambo, from Spain, you know, name it, they go to Upington. And that's a decision that council took years ago, and they're still doing it. There's a new council now. And we're very proud of Upington. And that's the point. If Upington can do it, the rest of South Africa can do it. Why not?
Sorry, is Upington a deal around municipality?
My brother had no use for it, you can't come here.
sorry, before you ask my our colleagues across to answer, forgive me, but I must ask this question to you, sir. I must.
Is that a supplementary?
No, it's a question I must dislike.
My apology.
Afinza.
On Mr. Mandy, he's from KZN, fantastic province where the sun actually rises.
And we enjoy the lowest charges on petrol. Anyway, thanks. For my benefit, the question, there was an indication that there's been, steady growth on VAT and corporate taxes, and that's against the backdrop of the falling taxes. But my question relates to what are the underpinning factors on if I'm correct to what I've heard that the VAT is the steady growth for the past 3-4 years. Does that talk to the level of poverty and inequality or affordability of food and products that people buy that are vetted? Then I'd like to understand also in terms of the corporate taxes, is it because there's no growth in terms of taxpayers in that sector, corporate sector itself, or what are the factors there? Then secondly is the just also for my own clarity for the sector that I'm quite related to, which is the non-profit sector, the NGOs, with relations to the disclosures on the donations and what regime is in terms of NGOs with regards to that, what is proposed in terms of tax donations. Then third feature is relates to the relief also relating to my sector, which is the disability related relief or benefits, tax benefits, if something, some general comments, if they're not ready, just to highlight any changes or any activity around this area of our taxes. Thank you, sir.
I recognize Honorable Gaila. He didn't have an opportunity, and then I'll take Honorable Isaac.
Chairperson, my apology for coming late. I had a petition. Petition comment. Chairperson, I am following up on what you were saying about the plastic bags. Why I'm doing that is that the levy on plastic bags, or whatever you call it, since 30 cents, that was then done so that we can fit our environment. And my question is that what happens with that money that is paid on plastic bags? Is it turned back to municipalities? Because all over where you go in South Africa, you see dirty plastic bags. But those bags are paid for. And that money, according to myself, are supposed to be turned back to feed the environment of South Africa. What happens to that money? That is my question. Secondly, there was a tax proposed. I passed my learned friend here in front, but he does not want to help me because I'm opposition. MOI. For the super rich, what was it called again? The super rich to be taxed. There was a proposal by the Davis Commission. What happened with that? Because we live in a country. We live in a country where you have the super rich and the very poor at the bottom. And politically, that has never been addressed. But I thought that tax will address it. What happened to that proposal? you remember the tax proposal. What happened with that proposal? Will it ever be implemented? Thank you. Those are the two questions that I got.
Gentlemen, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. There's just one question on slide number 29. My colleagues on the committee will understand why I'm asking this question. And the question is, what is the idea about specifically wanting to up the taxes on double cabs specifically? Because, you know, considering and taking into account the technology behind the motor manufacturers that is coming through today, it's unlike those days when you're getting these big smoke bombs in front of you when you're traveling behind them. And the irony of the situation is, why particularly double cabs? But that is my question, and so does it.
You drive the N7, you see a lot of double cabs. That's my road in the Makwa. Thank you, members. You may reply.
Thank you, members. Okay, I think on the first question, the question was taxes are going, some of the rates are going up, but why are we seeing shortfalls? I think on slides, so they say the 5 billion shortfall, 10 billion shortfall in CIT type of. So the reason for this is, so 2 years ago, for example, we increased the rates, the marginal rates for personal income tax. So the top rate went from 40 to 41. All the rates below that, except for the very bottom rate, also increased by 1 percentage point. Which would bring in a certain amount of revenue that we would think. But that revenue would be based on what our projections were for wage increases and compensation increases in the economy. So we would change the rate and say, okay, so now let's say 41%. And then we would forecast for that year and say, we think wage growth is going to be X, it's going to be 10%. And 10% of 41 will give us a revenue figure. The problem in the last few years has been that each year our forecast has over-forecast what has actually happened in the economy. So we, even if we've increased the rate, each year we say, okay, employment or wage growth should be X. But every year wage growth has been a little bit less than X. And because of that, even with the higher rates, we're getting a shortfall at the end of the year. I hope that explains why we got this, I suppose, dichotomy between trying to increase revenues, but then each year we see it all fall. And it's just because each year economic growth and wage increases haven't been as strong. Now, so employment plays a huge role. Employment is still extremely high. And also the actual wage increases of those who are employed has been lower than what we thought. The VAT side, it's been generally stable. You can see the generally over the last few years it hasn't been as we haven't had as big a shortfall, and it's just because our economy is still very consumption based and people still have been spending. And I think you see a lot of it in general in this news report that indebtedness has increased. So people continue to consume even if their wage hasn't gone up by as much, and indebtedness has just been growing and growing. So it's on that side, it's not as bad. We had another related question, I think it was later, on the CIT from Wednesday Monday, and then, why is it going on? And just while we're on this, corporate income taxes are just extremely volatile, and they're based on the profits of the company, and those profits of the company are far more volatile than our wages, for example, within the companies and within the firms. So because of that huge volatility, A, it's difficult to forecast, and B, when you have huge decreases in output like we have in the global financial crisis in 2019, there will be a huge drop in corporate income tax. And for corporates and firms, they have assessed losses, so they can roll those assessed losses over. And if a firm has had a very large assessed loss from 4 years ago, even if they are still being profitable in the next 3 years, they will use up that assessed loss, and they won't be paying as much tax revenue. So, you know, we're trying to get to the bottom of it. There might be some reasons like the assessed losses, but also because the economy is performing so poorly that profits are low. And if profits are low, we just won't make as much revenue on courses. On the question on the tax GDP, I completely take your point. And the tax to GDP measures and the comparisons that we use are just that, the comparisons, and they need to, and we will in future committees make more of the caveats around those comparisons. I mean, I think in a couple of our upfront slides, we've tried to say, you know, to improve economic growth, ensure a sustainable tax, the tax policy debate is on A, the tax mix, and B, on improving the efficiency of the transparency of the tax insurance. Sorry, I'm just getting the wrong bullet point. It's the one before. The impact of government expenditure is largely determined by the efficiency and effectiveness of such expenditure and the quality of the public goods and services provided. And that is it's a very important point to make in terms of, are you getting value for money for your tax revenue? And we've been pushing as the national theory that we need to get value for money from these tax revenues. And if you do look at the tax to GDP graph, there can be an initial indication, it can give you sort of an overall view, but the expenditure side is hugely important as well. How we do that to a committee is not so easy, because a lot of that is subjective. How can you have a slide that compares you to all these other countries in terms of spending and efficiency of spending and how good is the NHS or etc. And so I think we'll try and think about ideas of how we can make that more comparable. It's just not as, it's not that easy, but we take a point there. The point on transaction, the transfer duty, and what will the impact be on the real estate market. The OECD have done quite a lot of research on tax policy principles. You know, taxation and growth was a very important paper they did in 2009, and a lot of that is that the most efficient tax is actually tax on the property, because it's immobile, you know, it stays there. But they did say that taxes on transactions aren't as efficient. And there are studies, and OECD has done some studies, that there will be a slightly negative impact on the number of transactions that take place if you have very high taxes on transactions. France, you can come in if you need to. So we are cognizant of that, Reem. The amendment that we made with real estate properties on 10 million and above, so this is really at the upper end. We didn't make an amendment on the lower end, and we would think that there wouldn't be as much an impact on the number of transactions there. So we do think this only really hit the super wealthy, residential properties of 10 million and above, and it's a rate from 11 to 13. So we're cognizant of that, we know that, and we will try and, maybe we can try and show a bit of research on what these impacts when we present again. I'm just trying to quickly think which questions Paul can take, and so I can also take. A lot of them are on the NGO's question from on all the money. And what about donations? So at the moment in the tax Income Tax Act, we have a section on public benefit organizations, PBOs. And if you are registered as PBO, which has been approved by the commissioner, donations to you will not attract donations tax. And there's a whole list of the type of activities that can be defined as a PBO. I think it's in the 11th schedule of, sorry, the 9th schedule, excuse me, thanks, France, of the Income Tax Act. So we do have a regime that's set up for that, and we are always taking comments and submissions from the public on how we can make that more effective. In terms of disability, we've got to be in the main. We haven't made any changes this year in terms of disabilities related to tax. The only one that could be related is the medical tax credit and the increase. We have a slightly different regime and a slightly different level of the tax credit that you can get if it is for a medical aid payment in respect of a person with a disability. We have slightly lower a threshold for medical expenditure, etc., that you can claim. A tax on the super rich. So there was the Davis Tax Committee was asked to look at a lot of these issues. They have just published their second and final report on estate duty. In our view, and in David Hackmany's view, the estate duty is very much a proxy for a wealth tax. So it's, even though it is only on the transfer of wealth and death, they have published that. They did say, I think the judge did mention they were looking at just general wealth tax as well. And those are the only other, those are the proposals in the super rich that I know. I'm not sure if there are others, if there was another one that you're talking about. But there has been some work on that, and they have published that final paper. And then I think a lot of the others are on the plastic bag levy and on the fuel levy, and I think Umpho can talk to those. Thank you.
Chris, just answer the questions on the fuel levy. Slide 25. Slide 25. You'll see that the tax as a percentage of the fuel price for petrol is 36.5. Because if you look at there in terms of the total tax was 443, and then the price at the time was 12.15 a liter. So for petrol, it worked out to be about 86.5%. But when you look at diesel, because at the time the diesel was 9.43 per liter. Now it is, the tax on it was 428, it works out to be 45%. And that basically is the general fuel levy and the road accident fund, which are sort of like the big components in terms of the general, or in terms of the fuel taxes. So depending on where the price is at the point in time, then the tax percentage can vary. And linked to it, the question about the provinces, you know, being able to levy additional fuel taxes, put it with the issue of infrastructure and in this context the issue around ETO. I mean, that was sort of discussed at the trade level when the issue in the context of ETO. And the issues of EBT came into the picture in a sense that people, if you say for example you impose a fuel levy in Gauteng, for example, then it means people in Gauteng, you know, have to pay that levy. But then in terms of the infrastructure use, it's not only limited to people living in Gauteng. And then again, there were issues around the administration of that, whether I mean provinces can be able to admin in terms of the tax instruments that we have at the national, you know, do we need to start, you know, fragmenting the tax instruments in terms of allocating the tax and rights to provinces and stuff like that. I mean, it was discussed at great length, and it was thought that maybe the use of fuel levies by the provinces, you know, considering all of that, maybe in the context of office with infrastructure, might not be an equitable way of doing it. Because again, it talks to the issue about then the ring fence, because if then we're going to a certain province and impose a specific levy for infrastructure, then the question becomes, what if they don't make sufficient revenue from that instrument? Where will the other money come from? Should it be financed by the general revenue? You know, if you talk into the issues around that, so there are complexities about that, you know, in terms of fragmenting sort of this instrument to deal with the infrastructure issues, because they cost quite a lot of money, and issues like with this instrument, will they raise enough, and what are the